Hello, Voices from the Bench community. Pat Kuhn from Ivoclar here. Innovation and education are inseparable partners in our profession, where continuous change offers you the opportunity to raise the bar of dental care and elevate what is clinically and technically possible. So we at Ivoclar have created Ivoclar Academy, where we support you through cutting-edge educational programs and resources. We understand that you have busy schedules and individual preferences for learning. To help leverage your time and maximize your learning experience, the Academy has educational opportunities that are easily accessible and fit any learning style. Whether you are looking for an in-person program or for virtual education, Ivoclar Academy offers multi-channel opportunities that allow you to learn at home, in the classroom, in the office, or on the go. In addition, we offer CE-accredited learning opportunities. You can receive a certificate of attendance for each CE-eligible program or training course completed from the Ivoclar Academy. Simply log on to ivoclar.com and click on the Academy link located at the top of the page to get started. Happy learning.
Welcome to Voices from the Bench, a dental laboratory podcast. Send us an email at info@voicesfromthebench.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Greetings and welcome to episode 319 of Voices from the Bench. My name is Elvis.
My name is Barbara.
What's up, Barbara? A little busy this week?
Just a little. A little busy, a whole lot stressed.
I saw a poll online about busy or not busy or kind of the same, and a lot of people are saying they're slow, but apparently that's not the case for Florida.
I would like slow. Maybe just for a week. But I am stressed, but I am excited, because when this releases, my is going to be in Mallorca.
Yeah, I'll be leaving the next day after this episode drops.
Yay.
Yeah, so we're going to be spending 2 days at the ExoCAD Insight meeting. Super excited. I don't think we've said that enough.
Oh, man. There's no way I could say that enough.
But be sure to keep an eye out on social media. Barb's got to remind me to take pictures because I'm terrible about it. Let's take some pictures of the event and some of the cool things we see going on and kind of showcase it for people.
All right.
And then, of course, be on the lookout. We will be showcasing some amazing conversations that we get with all the attendees and the speakers from basically all over the world, I think.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Also remember that we are going to be in Florida at the FDLA Symposium in Orlando on June 7th and 8th.
Right on.
We will be in the Jensen Dental booth. The good people that brought us Mio and so many other amazing things were nice enough to provide us with a space to record all weekend. So I just saw the layout for the exhibit hall. I don't know if you've seen it, but as soon as you walk in, we are the first booth right in front of you. So
well, that's fantastic. And it's a really great event. The FDLA meeting's unbelievable.
Yeah, they've always done a great job. And we got a great location. And of course, we're with a great company. So if you're going to the FDLA, come by and see us and we'll have you on the podcast.
And thank you, Jensen Dental.
So this week we have a conversation with a guy that for over a decade has been a part of the team that has made Argon the powerhouse of a company that it is today. I actually remember years ago meeting this guy and being extremely impressed with his overall like personality and energy.
Lots of energy. Super great guy.
He doesn't seem to stop.
No.
Many people know Michael Clark as he has been to pretty much every dental meeting and so many labs over the years. But did you know that Michael also has a passion for insurance?
Yep.
I mean, I get it. It's usually not the sexiest topic to many, but to Michael, it's an opportunity to help people and, more importantly, help dental technicians. Michael talks about how he got into the dental industry, the many life-changing events that affected his decision to leave Argon, and how providing voluntary benefits to an underinsured industry has given him a new positive purpose in life. So join us as we chat with Michael Clark. Whether you're looking to elevate your craftsmanship or looking to cut back on cost, look no further.
Vita MFT teeth are the ultimate solution for creating lifelike and stunning smiles.
Crafted with precision and backed by cutting-edge technology, Vita MFT teeth offer unparalleled aesthetics and durability.
And since Vita believes in the power of experiencing excellence firsthand, for a limited time only, they are offering you the chance to get a complimentary case sample.
That's right, a full case, absolutely free. Just visit VitaNorthAmerica.com/free MFT.
Don't wait any longer to start providing your customers a premium tooth at an economy price. Redeem your free case sample, and if you're ready to buy, Vita will even give you an extra 10% off discount by shopping online on their newly launched online store.
Join the Vita family today, and we appreciate your support of the podcast. Voices from the Bench. The Interview. We are super excited today. We have a long-term friend. I don't know if we want to say legend in the industry, because legend makes it sound like you're done, but you're definitely not done. Michael Clark, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
We are doing great, and like I mentioned, just super excited to finally talk to you, Michael. I mean, I've known you for as long as I think I've been in the industry, really. Seems like you've always been a part of Argan.
Yeah, it's been a long time, right? Just over 10 years, and it's amazing the things that we did when I was at Argan and the advancements. I mean, gosh, I remember how we transformed that company from an alloy company, right? Just doing little basic ingots to the number one zirconia manufacturer of dental labs in North America. When I left, the number one distributor of capital equipment and software, obviously still the number one alloy company, and more importantly, the number one digital outsource partner to the lab. So, man, it's amazing the stuff we did when I was there.
Wow.
It's an amazing company. I'm sure your change is a massive loss for them.
Yeah. Hello.
But at the same time, it sounds like you're doing something you're equally passionate about.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. But before we go there, I also want to talk about what you guys did. So I remember Barb and Elvis when you first started the podcast and we were at Visions.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember running around the social events as you guys were just starting. And I remember those early days. And wow, it's amazing what you guys have done. And I think I always remember when COVID happened, I was listening to every single episode on my cardio walks. Like, it was just, it's just amazing what you guys did. So you guys have also done a phenomenal job over the years.
Thanks.
We appreciate that. And Argan's been a good supporter to us. We used to record in your booths.
Oh, yeah.
A few times. That's in Texas, we did that. And at our second lab day, we always appreciated that partnership. I actually remember, so at the end of every episode, I take a audio tidbit and just stick it at the end. And it's usually something I edit out, usually something usually something Barb says. But anywho, yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah. You are the only person that's ever mentioned to me that you hear them.
Oh,
and I have always appreciate that.
You remember that? I would always call you, Elvis. I go, how'd you get that?
It's the little things, right?
I wasn't just kissing your butt and telling you I actually listened to your podcast, right? So it's legitimate.
No, if you can tell me the last thing that's said on a podcast, that means you listen. Or you 100%. Fast forward through the whole thing and just go to the end. I don't know.
100%.
So, Michael, let's talk about how you ended up at Argan. I mean, you didn't come from a teeth background, did you?
Oh, wow. Interesting. I didn't think we're going to go this direction. That's fantastic. So first of all, let me tell you, I grew up, my father is a dentist.
Oh.
And my mother's a veterinarian. So imagine that upbringing, right? Right. So my dad was a general dentist. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right? But no, I went a different path. My degree's in industrial and systems engineering from The Ohio State University.
Yeah, baby.
And yeah, there we go. And my first job out of college, I worked for this company called Rockwell Automation. So I figured I better use my engineering degree. And I was doing sales for them. And I was fortunate to get transferred to New York City. So I lived in New York City for a while. I did that for 5 or 6 years, became a manager. But, you know, I got frustrated that the company just wasn't moving fast enough because I was, you know, young and aggressive. And so I shifted and I went into the insurance business and I hooked up with this company called Aetna. And I was
So wait a minute, you wanted fast and aggressive, so you went to insurance?
Yeah, exactly. The reason is because in the insurance business, believe it or not, the culture was if you did very well, they would move you up very quickly. Where at Rockwell, it was kind of like an old boys club.
Yeah,
and
I get you.
You just had to wait. Yeah, you had to wait your turn. So I was with Aetna, rose through the ranks very quickly for many, many years at Aetna. And then I found myself in Philadelphia. And then my wife and I have our son. Our son's born. Mm-hmm. And I met my wife in Kansas City. And who am I to keep a new mother away from her mother? So when our son was born in Philadelphia, she's like, we gotta get back to Kansas City. So I tried to figure out a way to do that, and I left that, and I went to this company called Delta Dental Kansas.
Okay.
And I was out there for a bit, and then I became the president and CEO at age 36, and I moved down to Wichita, Kansas. Yeah.
Set out to do what you wanted to do so far.
Yeah, 100%, awesome. Definitely.
So you were the president of Delta Dental?
President and CEO of Delta Dental of Kansas.
Oh,
so
okay.
Remember, yeah, Delta Dental, like Blue Cross, you have the brand, but then you had independently owned organizations within the umbrella of Delta Dental, if that makes any sense.
Okay, yeah, sure it does, yeah.
Yeah. So I did that for a few years, and then I got the entrepreneurial bug, and I moved back to Kansas City, and I was an insurance broker, and I became an independent insurance broker and was doing a great job, making a lot of money. And then a recruiter came and says, hey, there's this position, presidency for Delta Dental of Ohio, located in Columbus, Ohio. And I turn to my wife, I go, we got to go. I mean, I'm a Buckeye, right? So I got to go to Columbus. So we moved to Ohio, and I did that for a while and had a great experience. And then I left, and I and two other guys had aspirations to build a DSO. Like, this is many, many years ago when DSOs were first starting.
Like DSO? Like dental?
Yeah. Barb, you might have known this about me. So
why? Because of your dad?
No. So I wanted to buy dental practices.
Wow.
And so I had two partners. I had a dentist as a partner and a tech guy. And we came together and said, hey, look, we have a model. We feel like we can really work with these dentists and show these dentists how to maximize chair time, right? That's how you make money in a practice. And we had a unique connection because Bank of America at this time was the largest lender to dentists.
Yeah.
And that division is located in Columbus, Ohio, where I was living. And I knew the guy that was running that division. So I had an inside track of some practices that were looking to leave.
And we knew the guy that was running that division, and our strategic plan was to get 8 practices.
It's not so easy to teach a dentist how to do things differently.
Yeah.
And, ask any dental lab, right? Any dental lab, that question. And, you know, the practices we bought, they weren't doing, you know, office hours on Friday and Saturday. And we wanted to maximize chair time. So we couldn't get them to come in on Fridays or Saturdays. Right?
Oh, jeez. They only want to work 3 days a week. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a great experience. It was phenomenal. And I was doing okay, but the money wasn't huge. And then a recruiter came by and said, hey, there's this company called Argon, and they're in San Diego, and they're in the dental lab. And of course, I'm like, dental lab? Wait, isn't that just a huge bill that dentist pays? Right. And so I started doing my research, and then Anton and I got connected. And this is where my life changed. So I really didn't have to leave what I was doing, but I would tell you, anybody who's met Anton in person and you talk to Anton, he is so inspirational. He is such a lure, and we hit it off. Like, we had this great connection, and this is at a time when Argon was really making a transformation, right? Really shifting away from being an alloy and refining company. And so I was brought on board in 2013 to help run the sales and marketing team. Yeah. and be a partner running the business. Wow. And got to know the Wolf family, Bertie and Jackie Wolf and Andy Rivette, and of course, Julie Wolf. Julie Wolf was starting about the same time I was starting, and fell in love with the family.
Yeah.
Fell in love with the culture. Just phenomenal.
Special.
Oh, it's very special. Every single person. As a matter of fact, Bertie was like my son's grandfather. Like my son never met his grandfathers, they're always passed. So Bertie was my son's grandfather.
That's great.
Yeah. And so moved to San Diego and just had a great run and a great time. But something came up in my life, and this is a little personal, but I think it's important to share. And the more I share it, it actually helps me. So I had some personal tragedies happen to me right towards the end of my career, which is ultimately the reason why I left. So go back to September of 2022 on my birthday, which is 9/11. So Barb and Elvis, you can never forget my birthday. Now September 11th. Yep. Okay.
Mine's 9/10. You're a Virgo.
Oh, that's right. 9/10. I forgot it. That's right, Barb. I'm perfect. I won't forget it now either. And so it's a Sunday morning. I had a great plan with my family on my birthday. And I woke up that morning and I got a phone call from my best friend's wife. And my best friend and his wife were in Phoenix. They were about to go to the Cardinals-Chiefs game. My best friend's wife calls me and says, "You're not going to believe it. Derek passed in his sleep. 54 years old, had no health issues. Unexpected." I was devastated. Wow. So she's now running back to San Diego to tell their daughter, okay? A couple hours later, the doorbell rings. Their daughter shows up at my house. She's got a birthday gift in her hand that her father had her deliver to me, and she works at SeaWorld. She was wearing her SeaWorld outfit. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do we do? Well, we end up having to tell his daughter that her father passed. Oh. Absolutely hard for us. Just tragic.
She didn't know already.
No, she had, she had no clue. And the mother wanted to tell her in person.
Did you know she knew?
No, no. Well, actually what happened was she came in, my wife started talking to her. I called my friend's wife, Katrine, and we tried to figure things out, and we just said we got to tell her. So I put her on the speakerphone, and we all told her in person. Just,
oh wow,
just devastating. All right, this is just the beginning. Okay, this gets worse.
Oh no!
So 2 hours later, I get a call from my cousin in Columbus, Ohio. My uncle, who was like my second father, he passed.
God,
you're kidding me!
This is on your birthday.
Then 3 hours later, my wife's brother calls from Omaha, Nebraska. My wife's mother passed. My mother-in-law passed. So now here I am on my birthday, 54 years old, and three very important people in my life passed unexpectedly. I was devastated, absolutely devastated. Yeah. Had a really hard time getting through everything, as you can probably imagine. And it was great to work with a team at Argan, an executive team, and being understanding and understanding what you have, you know, you got to get better and healthy. And so it was a tough month or two. I was going through multiple funerals, traveling, and just having a hard time and trying to get a little better, but everybody was very understanding to me. Then another shoe drops, and then you go to Chicago midwinter 2023, about one year ago.
Yeah, last year.
Yep. And you know, I'm running the show for Argan, and you know, all the stuff and the 8-ring circus we got going on and event score and everything. And I'm at breakfast with Anton and Andy Rivette and a broker, and my sister calls, and my dad is rushed into the hospital. Yeah. And he had been battling Parkinson's for many years, and they were saying, you need to get here now. So in the middle of Chicago on Friday, I had to drop everything, fly back east, and then a week later, my father passed. Mm. And now here we are in March, and I'm turning to my wife and son. I'm like, what the heck does this mean? Like, this is too much. And this just kind of set me over the edge. And so I went to Anton and the team and said, guys, I'm sorry, but I need to get better and I need to leave. I need to take care of myself and I can't get better, keep working here. And more importantly, I can't perform at the level I need to perform. And so I also didn't want to let the team down as well. Right. It was a combination. And so I had no plans. I was fortunate to have some money in the bank, and I left. I gave the company 2 months notice. I was even at Lab Day West and did some transition stuff. And then as of June 1st, I was by myself. Elvis and Barb, have you ever had a month or two where you had absolutely no responsibilities, nothing to do,
no.
You just had your entire day to yourself?
I think I was 8 last time that happened.
So what's that like? You've got to tell me, because I'm really curious.
Yeah. It is. So first of all, because, you know, I didn't have any plan, didn't know where I was going to go. It wasn't like talking to recruiters. You know, I was fortunate, Barb. I had a competition coming up a month or two later, so I could kind of focus on my training and weightlifting and posing. And so literally what I would do is, you know, I would get up whenever I got up in the morning and had my pre-meal and had a great workout. And I would come home and relax. And I don't know, I'd watch YouTube. Watch movies, right?
Yes.
I spent a lot more time with my wife. We had some great time together. It was just so relaxing, Barb. It was great. You know, I could just chill and relax. And I start getting healthy, right? And I start getting much better. So it was the most therapeutic.
When you're talking healthy, forgive me, but most of it was mentally and spiritual, correct? Just trying to
recover. Oh, yes.
All I'm, of the trauma and.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Thanks, Barb. It was all spiritual and mental and 100%. So my faith is very important to me. So I was seeking guidance from that quite a bit. And so that helped me all. So yes, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
So probably after, you know, a month or so, I'm getting better, feeling good. And I think everybody who knows me, I'm full of energy and passion and can't sit still. So I got antsy. And, you know, I started hitting the streets and started talking to some recruiters and I had some interviews with a bunch of different companies and organizations in the dental lab space, in the dental practice space, and outside of the space. And I started talking to a bunch of people, and things were looking kind of good, but nothing was resonating. Like I'm saying to myself, I got a change in my life. Like, there's a reason, right? There's a reason why this is happening. Like,
I got to ask. I mean, obviously, because you're you, every company had to have reached out to you.
The phone was ringing off the hook.
I can imagine. I mean, every company would be an asset to have you.
Yeah, I turned down some nice opportunity. But I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah,
I get 100% you.
Barb.
I get you.
And, you know, I didn't want to move. I mean, like who wants to leave San Diego, right? So I didn't want to move.
I wasn't feeling it.
And then what was interesting, I get this connection, this call from this woman named Danielle Mason. And at the time, I didn't think it was going to change my life, but it changed my life. She was a recruiter for this insurance company called Colonial Life. And she's like, hey, we've got this position. It's a leadership role, yada, yada, yada. Would you be interested in talking to us? So I sat back and said, wait a minute, I know this company because when I was an insurance broker in Kansas City, I used to sell a lot of their products.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been out of the insurance business now, right, since I was with Argan. And I started thinking about the days I was in insurance. I thought about how much I loved it. I thought about how much I helped people. And then I started thinking more about it and said, wait a minute, this is starting to feel like, Barb, to use your term, I'm feeling it, right?
Yeah, I can sense that coming from you for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and I'm feeling it. And then I'm like, you know what? I can get back in and be my own business, be an entrepreneur. And so I start doing my research and just making sure I got my ducks in a row. And I called back Danielle and I went and talked to a bunch of people. One thing led to another. I connected with Colonial Life as an independent agent, right? Yeah. And started doing things with them. And they really helped me kind of get started on some things. But I'm still like an independent. I'm a 1099, right? I'm a 100% commission business owner person. And then I started building my team. And I started thinking about more. And I said, you know what? Dental labs. This is perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, here we go. Here comes the transition. Yeah,
I was thinking, how is this correlating? Okay, I got it. I'm feeling you.
So now think about this, Barb. You've been in the dental lab business a hell of a lot longer than I had been.
Yep.
Think about it. How many lab owners really understand medical employee benefits? Not many, right? And we all know if you have under 50 employees, you don't have to offer benefits, okay?
Yeah.
Take the flip side. How about people who are employee benefit professionals, the experts? How many of those people understand what a dental lab is?
Probably not many at all.
There you go. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a match here, right? So I thought about that. So my plan was I started building a team here in San Diego to sell this Colonial and voluntary benefits and things to businesses in San Diego. But then I'm going to go and really start reconnecting with all these great lab owners, right, and people and everything out there. And so I have to share with you that one of the first people that I spoke to is a very close friend I've known for a very long time, Jay Collins.
Yeah.
He's out in the Philadelphia area. His business originally was called Cornerstone, but he's now changed it to the Dental Lab. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that, but I know Cornerstone for sure.
He changed it to the Dental Lab?
Oh, yes, yes. You guys have got to have him on the cast to ask that story.
Yeah.
He one day, they were thinking about rebranding, and he just took a shot and surfed to see if that name was available, and it was.
Oh,
the Dental Lab. Hilarious.
And I don't want to steal his thunder. He'll tell you more great stories about how that's helped their business. So, but that's just a great story. So then, you know, they hooked up and they brought in another lab in West Berlin, New Jersey, Colonial. And then they actually added another location now in New York, PA. So they actually have three locations. And wow. So and then he brought me in and he helped me start my business and everything I'm doing. And, you know, that's just like Jay. And if you know Jay and you know his lab, what is so great about him is they just do a phenomenal job going out and helping labs. You know, isn't that what's great about our industry, the lab industry, that labs are always helping other labs, right? Yes. And Jay was helping me out. And I've watched Jay over the years, man. He's done a phenomenal job helping labs who want to learn about outsourcing, right? There's a lot of labs that want to do that. He's been phenomenal teaching these labs how to do sales and marketing. And he was even in Chicago doing lectures. So I just got to tell you, I can't say enough about Jay and how he helped me and what he did there.
I'm fortunate enough to know him, and he's a good dude. I highly agree everything you say. Yep.
And then I start talking to some more people, some good, close friends in the industry, and the next person is going to be Sasha over at Harvest. You guys met Sasha.
Yep.
Phenomenal. And so, you know, what's great is his business is in California, and Sasha and I have always had a great relationship. We've done a lot of things together. And so now I'm doing stuff with him on employee benefits and everything and really helping his business out quite a bit. So I can't say enough about Sasha, how he's helped me get going. Gosh, there's another lab in San Diego. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Paradigm Models and Center City Dental Lab, a guy named Dell and Garrett Morton. Do you guys know them at all?
I've heard of them.
I don't think I do, no.
Sun City?
It's in San Diego. It's called Center City Dental Lab. And the other part of the business is called Paradigm Models. And they do a lot of education models. They do custom models for training courses. And they do all stuff in San Diego. So, yeah, so that's been another great customer to help me come on board. And then most recently is Pucci. Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
LJ Luis at Pucci. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're right up there in Torrance outside of LA. And next week, I'm going to spend several days up there doing employee benefit meetings. So it's just, it's been awesome. It's been so fun working with them. So yeah, I'm loving it. Having a great time.
So take me through. So I'm a lab and I'm interested in learning about it. Like, how do you, like, what exactly do you help a lab do?
Yeah. So the first thing I like to refer to are things called voluntary benefits. Okay. And these are benefits that the lab owners do not have to pay for, right? They don't cost anything. It really is something that the employees, the lab technicians, et cetera, would pay out of their pocket.
Let me tell you this real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have Colonial. So I have the benefits of Colonial, and they're excellent because they offer
awesome
at my company, and like the cancer insurance and those different things that you pay minimal amount for, but they're huge benefits. So I do know a little bit about it, and I didn't mean to interrupt.
Awesome.
You. Go ahead.
No, Barb's never interrupted. That's a great transition. So these voluntary benefits or supplemental benefits, they are a wraparound to your major medical plans, okay? And when the benefits are paid out, it's cash sent directly to the person, right? To the person who owns the policy. So it's not something that goes to the hospital or the doctor or the pharmacy or the ambulance, right? And when the person gets paid for the benefit, they can do whatever they want. So let me give you an example, and I think you'll start to understand how I'm helping labs and lab owners and whatnot. So here's a real live example, and I don't want to say the name of the lab or the person,
sure,
you know, for confidentiality, right? But yeah. I will say that my customer, one of the members of the lab, is a lab tech, right? It's in the ceramic department. He bought an accident policy, okay? Mm-hmm. And the accident policy cost him $15 a month.
Yep.
And they run payroll every 2 weeks, so that's $750. That's, and then it's pre-tax, so it's like a cup of Starbucks coffee, right? Is what it costs.
For sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So this guy has got a bunch of dogs. You guys, do you guys have dogs? Are you dog people by any chance?
I'm the one with the herd.
I have two ex-dogs that are still my dogs, but yeah.
Okay. And I've got dogs in my house. But you know, when you have dogs, what happens is you've got toys that are like laying everywhere around your house, right? At least in my house they are, because they're playing around and dropping them off, the squeaky toys, right? So same thing with this guy. Toys are laying everywhere, okay? So one night, right, he's in bed, he's gone to bed. Middle of the night, he's got to get up and go to the bathroom, okay?
Sure.
You know, 55 years old, I can relate to that. Go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And he gets up, he's groggy, okay, right, in the middle of the night, and it's dark, right? Doesn't have to turn the lights on. He's walking to the bathroom in his house, in his whatever, freaking trips over one of those darn toys, like his dogs, falls and snaps his leg. Right?
Oh, snaps his leg. Snaps,
yeah, well, breaks it. Sorry. I mean, like, snap it. But yeah, big, okay. Bad break. Very bad break. Sorry, Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then guess what happens? Ambulance picks him up, takes him to the hospital, is in the ER, was in the hospital for a couple nights, had surgery, x-rays, crutches, all these things, right? Okay. Physical therapy, follow-up visits. Okay. Now, what's interesting is the medical plan he's on, okay, has a deductible that's $2,000. And it has a co-insurance limit of $4,000. So guess what? Mm. Based on all those things I just shared with you, okay, he's going to hit that $4,000 limit with no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
that's one night, right, in the hospital.
Exactly. Well, not a lot of people have money in their checking account, okay? So a fun fact, right, Elvis, fun fact, 42% of people in the United States have $1,000 or less in their checking account.
Sure.
Okay? And last night we heard on the State of the Union address that was at 63, 64% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So when he got out of the hospital and everything's okay, he submitted his claim to Colonial, right? Listed everything that happened. He got $5,400 deposited in his checking account within 48 hours. He not only had that money to pay his medical bill, but he also was out of work for a couple weeks, and he was able to use the extra cash to take care of some bills that he would have had a hard time paying. I'm telling you, if he didn't have that accident policy for $15 a month, he would be in a world of hurt having to pay that medical bill that he had just from tripping over his dog toys in his bedroom.
And, you know, I echo that. That is a great story. And I didn't know they had accident insurance, but a very close coworker of mine had the Colonial cancer, and she got breast cancer this past year, and she got a $10,000 check in her account. Same thing. And, you know, same thing with the deductibles. It allowed her to have a little bit of wiggle room and be able to pay her bills. And, you know, it really is short money, you know, when you're paying for this for, you know, per month. But when something life-changing like that happens, it is such an amazing benefit.
You just don't know what's going to happen. Like, when we first got on, Elvis and I were talking, I was coming home from the gym today, and I'm driving home, and a freaking rock hits my windshield out of the blue, and now I got to go get a new windshield. Like, You don't know when these things happen. They just pop up. So these are the kind of things that I'm doing, and these are the kind of things I'm able to help lab owners and help their people. And there's also some other fun facts. So another strategy is I'm able to help lab owners with their workers' comp claims. Okay. So I'm not selling workers' comp insurance, but let me ask you a question. If you two had to guess, Monday through Friday, what is the most popular day of the week that employees will file workers' comp claims?
Interesting.
Take a guess. What would you guess? Monday through Friday.
I'm going to go with Monday.
Friday? Okay. Why would you say Friday, Barb?
Because they can chill on the weekend and say, Barbara, out.
Okay. Well, that's it's interesting.
For Barb, it's 5 minutes after she walks in on a Friday. That's when it happens.
And Elvis, why would you say a Monday?
I don't know. It just seems like you're just getting into work, haven't touched a handpiece in about a weekend, and oops, I don't know.
Yep. So the answer is Monday. So congratulations. Of course, Elvis. Guy. And it's really across all industries, and here's the reason why. Because guess what happened on the weekend?
We got drunk. Oh.
Could be that too. They're snowboarding. They're surfing. Well, sorry, surfing in California. They're doing stupid things, right? And guess what? They get hurt. Well, you know, when you have workers' comp, you don't pay your deductible. You don't pay co-insurance.
They're dragging their injury into work.
There you go. And they drag their injury into work. And all of a sudden, oh, my leg hurts. Oh, this is happening. And you file a workers' comp claim. Now, obviously, that's not... It's not ethical, but it happens.
I bet.
So here's the cool thing. So when employers offer accident and short-term disability policies, right, 50% of those employers will experience a 42% reduction in workers' comp claims. Because they have those policies, they know they're going to get cash, and they know they don't have to go potentially do a fraud claim on a Monday, which they're going to do because they don't have the money, right? That's why they're committing fraud, because they don't have the money to go meet the deductible and everything. So that's a huge, huge benefit, right? That's able to help the owners.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm doing with folks is I'm the people who are offering medical benefits. this is the time of the year you're getting these renewals, and these medical insurance renewals are really high, 20%, 30%, 40%. So I've got strategies in place by using these voluntary products that I can go work with customers and business owners to help reduce that medical renewal down to something significantly more acceptable for the business and the employees by using these voluntary products.
How are you able to do that? Are you negotiating for them on their behalf?
Yeah, great question. So here's one particular avenue, right? You know, it all depends on the kind of the scenario. So you get your rate increase, right? And let's say it's a 30% rate increase, right? So as the business owner, you have a decision to make. You're going to say, okay, I'll take it, and I'll pass along to my employees in their contribution strategies, right? And what's being deducted out of their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to go back to the insurance company and try to beat them up, or I'm going to try to shop it, right? I'm going to go and go to other carriers. Now, you can't shop your business every year because all the carriers will catch up to you and they'll see that, and then it just won't work anymore.
Yeah.
The other strategy is to decrease benefits. So in other words, that's to increase the deductibles, increase the coinsurance, increase all that. And when you do that, the insurance company will lower the premium, right? It'll bring it back down. So here's the strategy.
Here's the strategy.
you do that. You increase the deductible or out-of-pocket maximum, and you work with the company to get that rate down. But and then what you do is you purchase an accident policy as one example. That's 15, 20 bucks a person a month. And then what you say to your teams, hey, everybody, look, we got a 30% rate increase, huge number. We did not want to take $200 more out of your paycheck every month, whatever, whatever. Here's what we had to do to get this thing down to a better level or to keep it as a pass on the renewal. So unfortunately, we had to increase our deductibles and coinsurance. But don't worry about it. Because what we did is we went and purchased this policy for you. So in the event you have an accident, or in the event this happens and you have to go to the hospital, you have to do this, and you have to be subjected to that higher deductible, we've taken care of that for you with this. You see where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah.
With the other plan.
Correct.
Yeah.
100%. It's kind of a neat little – So that's helped. That's worked with some customers. Yeah. So you can see I just don't do the voluntary. So I'm also working with customers just to be their insurance broker. So I'm not just solely voluntary. I mean, that's kind of my primary and what I drive with. But a lot of customers have come up to me and says, Michael, why don't you just be my overall broker? Handle everything. Just do it all for me. I said, sure, no problem. I'll help you out. So,
Well, what I like about it is you know insurance. You're passionate about it. You know dental labs. You're passionate about it. It just seems like it makes sense. I've worked at dental labs where we have an insurance guy and he has no idea what we're doing in there.
Yeah.
And there's just like, there's no connection. Maybe you don't need it, but why wouldn't you want it?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, I was sharing the other side. What's interesting is, and I probably have this experience like a lot of lab owners, is I'm recruiting a team to work for me, like a sales team to work for me.
Yep.
And I'm going through all that fun time, like all as all lab owners are doing and trying to hire people. Although I'm doing it differently where I'm paying them 100% commission, right? So they don't get paid unless they eat. But it's been challenging, but it's also been fun. And in San Diego, I've met some great people and I've got some fantastic people on my team. As a matter of fact, I got a couple Marines that were in the Marine Corps. Yeah, because in San Diego, it's a huge military area. And so I've got a couple Marines on my team. And then I got to share the one cool scenario. Do you guys ever see a TV show on MTV, gosh, many years ago called Big and Rob? Does that name at all sound familiar to you guys? MTV, Big and Rob?
No.
I'm the last person to know what happened on MTV.
All right, maybe not. All right, shoot. Okay.
Touché.
It was a great TV series. And one of the founders of Big and Rob on the team, his name is Otis Big Zeus Walton, is one of the creators and one of the cast members of that series.
Okay.
And it's no longer on MTV, but he is now a manager on my team. And it's just some of the great people you get to meet. And this guy is the nicest guy in the world. And when I first met him, he is 6'9",
365 pounds. Probably one of the biggest people you'll ever meet.
His hand is bigger than my head.
And he's walking in to talk about insurance?
100%. I got to be honest with you. When he walks in to see a customer for the first time and they say, hello, I'm here to see the owner, they get the wrong impression. rather than
I'm going to take his ass to jail.
But it's fun. It's fun. It's great. And I love it. And I have all different kind of customers in San Diego, not just dental labs.
I was going to ask that. So, yeah. So it can't you're morphing a little bit where it's not just labs, but it's four labs too, right?
100%. So I have this specialty and niche with labs because I know the business, but also we're doing things with other customers as well. So auto mechanic stores, pet groomers, a church, all different types of stuff. So yeah, it's been great. So that's kind of been my focus in San Diego with my team. And then I'm hitting labs all over the place. And dentists. Oh, forgot. Duh. I'm also talking to dentists because I know their practice.
Sure.
So I'm getting a lot of dentists to come on board as well.
Do you have information? Because let's be honest, dental labs are not really known for offering the best insurance policies, especially the smaller labs. Do you have information on the percentage of labs that are offering insurance?
You know, that is a great question. I do not have that stat. And my bet is if we talked to Bennett, I bet he would have that. He would have that stat. But Ellis, I'm glad you brought that up. That just reminded me of something. Another thing that's very important for labs. So remember, offering a good benefit program, especially with voluntary benefits, it will help the lab owners retain good people.
100%.
And it will help them recruit. So as labs are trying to recruit new people, this will help them do that as well. And then the other part is, remember, if you have under 50 employees, you don't have to offer health insurance. And a lot of lab owners do. Like, they want to offer, they want to help their employees, but they just can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so lots of times when I had those conversations, I said, but if you could do something, what could you afford? And a lot of them will say, oh, $50 or $100. I said, perfect. Here's what we can do. Let's do a benefit bank. So in other words, you put $100 up a month, let your employees pick these voluntary plans, a life insurance, a disability, right? All these kind of things. Dental insurance. Oh, by the way, dental insurance too. And let you pick. And then that's the way they're helping them out. So there's a lot of ways to help.
So the individual plan can be paid by the employer.
Yeah. So what we do is in our situation is the bill goes to the owner of the business.
Yeah.
And then what the owner is doing in the situation where the employees are paying for it themselves, they'll do payroll deduction, right? That's mm-hmm. how they're paying for their plans. Or the owner doesn't have to do a payroll deduction, right? The bill's still coming to the owner. The owner can just set aside a dollar amount.
We call it a
benefit bank. Yeah. We call it like a benefit bank, like $25, $50, $100. And then let the employees pick the products. And if they pick more than what the owner is offering, then the difference they'll just take out of their paycheck, right?
Interesting. Yeah,
that's what they do with us, for sure.
Yeah. Another fun fact is when you're offering these products, right? So this will also help reduce your workers' comp premiums. Mm. So how is workers' comp premiums paid? It's based on payroll, right? That's how you pay your workers' comp premiums. So if your payroll is being reduced by offering more benefits as payroll reduction, now your payroll goes down, you pay less in workers' comp premium. And then also there's this thing called FICA payroll tax, right? That's like 7.65%, it's based on payroll. So you can say by offering voluntary benefits, you reduce worker comp claims, you can reduce worker comp premiums, and you can reduce your payroll taxes. You can increase your retention and you can increase your recruitment of new employees. I mean, Elvis and Barb, what
could
be better?
Days. No, seriously.
And you can do all that and the owner doesn't have to pay a penny for that. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't you want to talk to me about that, right?
Yeah. Honestly.
This is why I don't own a business.
Yeah.
It sounds confusing.
Yeah.
There's so much to think about.
Back to the benefits. So I'm curious. So I know about cancer and accident. What else is there out there that people can sink their teeth into and get? I'm sure there's a ton.
Short-term disability. So short-term disability is pretty important, right?
Yes.
Help protect your income, right? Long-term disability, right? That's becoming pretty important.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, we're going to have something called long-term care that we're able to offer. So there's a couple states that are now starting to add some more regulations. So State of Washington was the first one, and California is going to be adopting that model. So for example, in California, in the very near future, there'll be a regulation where all employers have to offer long-term care to their employees.
Wow.
Yeah. So long-term care will be coming here pretty soon. Dental insurance, a cancer.
Define that for me. What does that mean? Long-term care.
Yeah, yeah. So when you get to that point in your life where you need additional help, whether it's in-home nursing, maybe you need to go an assisted living facility, a memory care facility, you know, any things of that sort, long-term care. So having long-term care insurance, then when a loved one is in that situation, then they will have money sent to them to pay for those expenses. So basically, it's paying for that care ahead of time.
Why do you think that the states are making that law? I'm curious. The reason I'm asking, my father is in a memory care facility, and he's been in there only 3 weeks, so it's a little near and dear to my heart. And fortunately, he was smart enough to get himself long-term care. So we're involved in that whole thing. But why would a state mandate that? Just curious. I know it's a crazy question, but why?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is a tough one, Barb, because there's one perspective of why should the government be putting enormous restrictions or costs to do business? And we all know in California, it's probably the highest cost state to do business in to begin with. So why keep adding more to that? So that's kind of a tough scenario. But I believe what happens is it's helping people that when they get to that point that they're going to have the money and they're going to have the resources to be taken care of, and that does no longer become a burden of the state, if you will, in that kind of situation. That's my belief behind it, but I'm perplexed on both sides of that because of what I just said, because as an entrepreneur and a new business owner, you know, I also don't want to be given all these restrictions and costs to run my business, as every lab owner probably has the same perspective on. So I'd rather, if it's voluntary, why mandate it? So
Exactly. Sorry to get into politics of it, but I was just
kidding. No, it's okay. It's all good, Barb. It's all good. Not every state does that, but again, I think, you know, when some states see other states doing it, you may start to see a trend move forward. We'll see what happens in the future. We'll see where it goes.
Not surprised that it's out west states that are doing that, though.
Yep.
That's science.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So anyhow, you were talking about the benefits. So you went through long-term care, and then I interrupted you, and then what else?
Yeah. So short-term disability, long-term disability, two kinds of lives, term life, whole life. Whole life is where you can, it's like an investment vehicle, and use it to build the cash value, which is nice. Dental insurance, vision insurance, critical illness. Mm-hmm. So critical illness is things like if you have a heart attack or diabetes. And then we have what's called like a medical bridge or a hospital indemnity plan. And so that's a situation where if you're going to be in the hospital for a long time, it'll have benefits paid out specifically for that, right? So yeah, that's kind of the gamut. Mm-hmm. But again, as I said, I can do both. I can do it all. So I'm having fun.
Dang.
So you mentioned you're visiting clinical offices and dentists and their staff. What do you, is it similar to what labs are looking for, or is there major differences?
Yeah, great question. I find there's enormous similarities, and I find the similarities because of the size of the number of employees. Again, remember, if you're under 50 and you don't have that regulation, so that's a big part.
I imagine most dental offices are under that number unless it's, you know, multiple doctors.
Yep, 100%. And if it's a DSO or something like that, that's a whole other deal. I'm not talking to those organizations. They're too big. But yeah, so, and also look at how much they're paying their people, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to also look at kind of the demographics of the workforce, right? So a lot of hygienists are female, and there are a lot of these voluntary products that are helping women in their, how do I say this the right way, Barb, childbearing years, and it can significantly help people, right? So yeah, that's where I'm starting to see that. And also for recruitment. So like a lab, I find dentists that I talk to, they're having a hard time finding good people. I think COVID really impacted a lot of people, right? And I know, especially in California, I know a lot of hygienists that went through that experience and just said, I'm done. Like, I'm done. And the dentists are always looking for great hygienists. That's a very important part of the practice.
Oh, so, yeah. It's all they talk about.
Yeah. I mean, it's critical, right? And it's same thing with a lab. It's hard to find good technicians. Or when you find a good technician, they may get recruited to go somewhere else, right? So same thing, the dentist is having the same situation. So that's where I find the similarities.
You made a good point. Is there any insurance out there to protect the business owner when they lose revenue because of an employee being sick, out, or whatever?
Fantastic question, Elvis. Most certainly. Unfortunately, that's not my lane. You know, that's kind of more business insurance. But I was sharing with you what's great. I'm so glad you brought that up. So as I'm talking to the lab owners, they ask me those questions, right? So there's the lost revenue insurance. I'll give you an example. I'm sure you saw Julie Wolf on her presentations at Argonne and how Argonne got a cyber attack.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
I was there when that happened. I remember that. Oh boy. I remember those days.
That had to be a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And we had cyber insurance. And so a lot of these things out there are really good things for lab owners to start to have. Labs are a target, like especially in cyber, they're just fishing, right? So, and they're just fishing, and whoever catches a hook on the fish, they go after, no matter how big or small the company is. So to your question, Elvis, it is out there. If lab owners are not seriously looking at it, they should. And what I've done is I've created a partnership with a group of people who, that's their lane, that's their expertise. And when people ask me about it, I kind of bring them in, right? Kind of help me. Yep. And then also too, HR. So there's a lot of labs that struggle with HR, right? HR issues, things of that nature. Yeah.
And Barb is a little bit of an HR nightmare.
So I'm not an HR expert, but I do know about it. And I have a partner that helps me out, and I bring that person in. And we can really help coach labs, and the person can be, you know, the outsourced HR person, right? You do a lot of different things. So that's been helpful. And last thing, Elvis, like, and I want a piece to this. I keep forgetting. It's like, I got so much on my mind. What's cool, when I come in with these strategies, I have access to a free HR administrative cloud-based tool. So it's in the cloud. You load all your information about your employees and the benefits and the payroll reductions and .. You can do enrollment on it. You can run payroll through it. You can do all these things. And what I've noticed is a lot of labs are doing things on spreadsheets. Like, here's a spreadsheet for this, or I'm doing Quicken to do payroll here, I'm doing here, and I got to file my I-9 form. I got to do this. You know, all these different things are all over the place. So what I've been able to do is house all that into a cloud-based solution where you can do things electronically and make life a lot easier.
That's free?
Yeah. So it's free when we're able to come in and offer some of the voluntary products, right? So it's free. But then there are some additional services that would then cost a little bit of money. So running payroll through it would have a little bit of a fee to it. Another cool feature one customer is doing an electronic time card. So they're setting up a kiosk with an iPad in the lab, and people go in with a code, and that's how they do their time cards.
Nice.
So instead of punching a clock and turning into somebody and manually adding up those times in a spreadsheet, because we're humans and we're adding things up and we may be off on the hours, it's better to go do electronically, pulls it into the cloud, and now you can run your payroll a lot easier, right? And then you can do all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I forgot to talk about that. That's also there. So you can see I got a lot of things going.
Yeah, you do.
Jeez. Sounds pretty amazing to me. I mean, like, we've got the electronic time card, but, you know, a lot of this stuff, I think lab owners would be all over, honestly. So I'm really glad that you're talking to us to get the message out.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
But let's be clear, if as a lab owner, you don't have to offer insurance to offer these other benefits to your employees. And like you mentioned, it costs nothing to the lab. So why wouldn't you just offer this to your employees that obviously don't have insurance because they work for you to give them that extra peace of mind, I guess?
100%, Elvis. I think it's because the benefits people out there aren't talking to labs, and they're not talking about these benefits. And I also think what happens too is, usually your real top benefits professionals, they don't like to go after small employers, right? They're going after big fish.
And
I think that's what's happening. And I think people who are focusing on small employers aren't – I'm just making a general statement, and so I'll be careful I don't put my foot in my mouth. But I think that's probably why, right? And so, you're right, Elvis. I don't know why people wouldn't do this. It's just such a big help for them.
So I got another question. When we do our insurance, it's like every April, right? And it's, you know, renewal time, and everybody's got to sign up. If you bring the Colonial benefit package in, can you do that anytime, or does it have to be in lieu or with the renewal?
Barb, great question. And that was one of the first things that drove me down my decision process when Danielle had called me, and why I felt like this was a perfect business strategy for me. when you offer voluntary products, there is no definite open enrollment period.
Oh, that's so nice.
So we can come in at any month, right? So lots of times I come in 2 months after the company enrolled their medical. Like you said, you enrolled April. I've had some customers already I've talked to. They're bringing me in June. So yep. And another part about this, what's neat is when we do these meetings, we have what are called enrollers. And we're called benefit counselors. We come in and we meet at the lab and we have like a 15, 20 minute meeting with each employee. And then that benefit counselor has been educated on all the benefits that are being offered. So either you're offering medical or not offering medical. Right. And they're usually utilizing that time to educate the person on their benefits. Where today, I find lab owners are not sitting down, not talking about the benefits and explaining it to their employees. And let's be honest, benefits is part of your compensation package. And most people don't know it, understand it. And so that's what is great for us is our benefit counselors do that. And they explain it to them, they can relate to them. And now these employees walk out armed with more information about what they have, how it's helping them. And they start to gain more admiration and thanks and respect for the owner. Because now they start to really realize what the owner has provided them. And it becomes a win-win.
And he's thinking about them.
He's thinking about them, yes, 100%.
About their well-being and what they need and what ifs and what happens. And, you know, there's a lot more to it, I think, than people realize, especially being an owner and the cost of it all and, you know, wanting to give to your employees and maybe not being able to afford it in some instance.
100%.
Okay, so an employee signs up. They got their plan in place. A year later, for some strange reason, they want to leave the industry.
Yep.
Do they lose these benefits? Can they continue them on their own? How does this work?
Yeah, great question, Elvis. So they, because they own the policy, so when they leave, they can take it with them. So I have this little tool set up where the employer has to process a termination, right? Voluntary or non-voluntary. It sends me an alert. And then I reach out to the employee and talk to them, say, hey, if you'd like to keep this, here's what we need to do. We need to set you up with Colonial on a credit card payment or checking account. And then instead of it coming out of your paycheck, right, it's just going to come out of your checking account or whatever account. And then if they go work for an employer like Barb, where they have it already, they can just flip it over and talk to the lab and see if they would then start doing a payroll form. So yeah, they can keep it with them. It's portable, we say. It's portable.
Yeah, but the difference is it wouldn't be pre-taxed anymore.
100%. It's no longer pre-taxed, right? Until you go to an employer who can then do it for you that way, right?
Yeah. Interesting. So how the hell do people get a hold of you? How do they line you up to get you to come in and talk about this stuff?
I love it. Thanks. So my website will be released by the time I'm sure this airs. So my website is mbclarkcompanies.com. So M for Michael, B for Brian, my middle name, clarkcompanies.com.
Yep.
My email address is michael@mbclarkcompanies.com.
Perfect.
Or you can always call or text me. So for those of you who've known me in my Argon days, my mobile number has not changed. For those of you who don't know my number, it is 858-956-9117, 858-956-9117. So you can ping me any way you want. And even though I'm in San Diego, trust me, my phone rings all hours of the day. And so I'm up early, so it doesn't matter when you call me, I'll be there.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Now, before we sign off, I want to talk to you about this whole how ripped you are and how you got into this.
Oh, no.
We are talking 1970s Arnold Schwarzenegger ripped, right? I mean, we're talking like, holy schmoly. How did you get into this? Has this always been a thing?
Yeah, great question, Elvis. So, you know, I've been lifting weights for years, right? And I've always loved it. And people have always said to me, hey, Michael, why don't you try bodybuilding, right? And I've always been natural. So first of all, I've never taken any enhancements, as we like to say. That's in the bodybuilding world. You're either you're enhanced or you're not enhanced, is what we like to say. And I've never done it. So then it's really weird, Elvis. I won't forget this. It was Thanksgiving Day, 2018.
Yeah.
Woke up Thanksgiving morning and I said, I don't know. A switch went off my head. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to try this thing out.
On a day you're supposed to eat the worst.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why, but it happened, right? So of course I didn't start that day, but the next day I said, okay, first I got to figure out, can I stop drinking for 2 weeks? Because I can't get ripped to be drinking all the time, right? And I love my wine. So I was able to flip off drinking wine for 2 weeks. I said, okay, I can do this.
Yep.
And then I said, I'm going to go find a trainer that can help me and coach me. I don't need help on the lifting. I just need help on the food and the cardio and you know, looking at me and give me advice. And so I found a guy in San Diego. His name is Derek Farnsworth. He actually was on the Olympia stage, which is the pinnacle for bodybuilding, was called the 212 category. And he has become such a big thing in my life. It helped my life. And he's a no BS guy. He holds my feet to the fire and he tells me when I'm slacking and he can see like if I'm stressed, because like every week when I get up in the morning, I've got to take pictures in certain poses and send it to him. And he looks at me and he gives me coaches and he can tell when I'm stressed because you're holding water from cortisol and all these things, right?
Wow.
So I started out, I was 220. Okay. So I'm 5'6", 5'6" and a half. I started at 220 in that December timeframe. My first competition was the following July. I was on stage 168. Wow. And I took second place. I compete in the 50 to 60 year old category. And then a year later, I went to another competition and I took first. Wow. And I also took second overall. And then that one competition I first was at where I took second, I went back to that one. I won that one. And then I went to this competition in LA called Ironman Magazine. It's not the running Ironman, it's a bodybuilding magazine.
Yeah.
And I was there 2 years ago. I took third, and then I took second last year. And right now I'm exactly 20 weeks out from that competition again this year, and so I want to go back and win it.
That's fantastic.
And so,
dang.
Yep. Good it's hard.
The amount of discipline that you must do is amazing for that kind of thing. Because you're right. It's not just lifting weights. It's changing everything else that goes into your body, and it's just amazing. And
it's tough. Elvis, you're a salesperson, and Barb, you're a salesperson at heart. You can understand this. So it's all about being disciplined and following a process and never letting go. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. That's all you do, right? So I will tell you, and I think we all can relate this in our age categories. So I learned that if I try to bulk up and then come back down to be more ripped at the competition, the elasticity in my skin is no longer what it was like in my 20s, right? It doesn't want to snap back. And remember, we're natural. And by the way, we get tested. I get drug tested these competitions and I do polygraphs and everything. So I've learned this last year, I've stayed leaner longer. So this year, at the beginning of the year, I was 9 pounds lighter than I was last year. So I think going into Ironman this year, I'm going to be the best ever, my shape ever. So I'm really stoked about it this year. So, and it's a great outlet, you know, Elvis, I know it's, but it's my mental escape. When I'm in the gym in the morning, I'm jamming the music. You would not recognize my personality. I don't talk to a person. Like I don't talk to anybody. I'm a loner in the gym. Yeah. I love it.
I think Barb and I can relate with running.
Yeah, we're both runners and we don't talk. Yeah.
It's our escape. It's how you get away and it gets you moving. And
hey, have you guys ever gotten the runner high?
Oh, all the time.
Every time I run.
Yeah.
Every time you do. So does it just feel like you're floating when you're running?
Oh, yeah. You feel like you're on, like, I don't even know. You feel like you're freaking mad woman for me, man. I'll just start going and I feel like $1 million and like I'm floating and I could just kill or kick ass somehow. I don't know. It's crazy. Not kill. You got to edit that out.
Okay. For me, I always go out for a run anticipating my distance. And then I shortly go through this, I'm not going to do it. And then I go through this, I wish I wasn't doing this. And then I hit this point where it's like, I think I could do this for 30 miles straight.
Yep.
That's my high. It doesn't last very long because eventually I'm like, all right, I'm ready to finish. And it's only been a couple miles. But
when you guys run, do you run in the mornings or do you run in the evenings?
Morning.
I prefer morning, but with my weather and work schedule, it's just when I can.
Have you guys, when you're running in the morning, have you ever seen odd wildlife like you would expect to see normally in the morning when you're running?
Yeah, and I always look it up.
You always look it up? So I'll just share a story. So I would do cardio in the week early in the morning while I walk outside. And I've seen the craziest things. Like I've seen bats here in San Diego in the morning when I'm walking. I've seen, we have a lot of coyotes. one time I came across three coyotes and they started doing a triangle pattern around me. I'm like, oh. This is not good. And I was really nervous, but fortunately they walked away. But I had to share with you the thing that scared me the most. So it was a couple of weeks ago, I'm walking, it's like 4 a.m. and it's dark out, and I see what looks like to be a cat. And I get closer and I'm thinking, there's no cats around here because there's coyotes, right? I get closer and I stop, I freeze in my tracks, I look at it, and guess what?
Bobcat.
Skunk.
Oh. Skunk. And it turns and it looks at me and it sticks its tail up. And now it's like its tail is like a cobra. Can you envision this?
Sure.
And
sure,
I'm frozen. Yeah. I'm 20 feet away. I'm freaking frozen. I'm like, I've never been so scared in my life. What do I do? And I start to slowly walk away. He starts to, and the skunk goes the other way. And I went, thank God. Because I was told they can hit like 30 feet. Like they can spray that stuff 30 feet. So,
and you'd stink for weeks.
Oh,
you got lucky. I thought you were going to say you ran.
I don't know what to do, Barb. Like, I just froze like a skunk. And we stuck his tail up. I'm like, what do I do?
That's nuts.
Oh, that's great.
You know what? On that note, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's great. We are so happy you're helping this industry even more than what you were doing when you were with Argan all those years. It's such a cool thing you're doing.
Well, thank you. And thank you for both what you do. You do a phenomenal job with this podcast. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
All right. Have a good one.
Appreciate you guys.
Yep. Have a good one.
See you later.
A big thanks to Michael for coming on our podcast. We will definitely miss him as a pivotal person with Argan. And as we know, I bet Anton and Argan must miss him too. But we know that sometimes you have to follow your heart, no doubt, especially after all of the tough things that he went through. We love the good things that you're doing for our industry, though. As I mentioned, we have that insurance here at my lab, and it's definitely worth looking into. If you guys are lab owners or managers, head over to mbclarkcompanies.com to check out how he can help you retain and attract new technicians. And if you're not an owner or a manager, go tell them to listen to this episode. It's really, really great. It's a win-win for everybody in the lab.
Seriously, it's a simple thing that everybody can do for their labs.
So do it.
All right, everybody. We're going to continue our time in Spain, and we will talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Noodles, look at me. Noodles. Noodles, come here. Come here.
The views and opinions expressed on the Voices from the Bench podcast are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the host or Voices from the Bench, LLC.